Acts chapter 8 this morning, we'll begin reading in verse 26. Acts chapter 8, verse 26, the Word of God says, I'll wait till you get there while I turn my mic on. Amen. Verse 26, the Bible says this, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Here you got a general call on the life of Philip the evangelist. And the angel of the Lord speaking, and he says, arise and go toward the south. Now what that tells me is that winter is approaching. Amen. Everybody knows, evangelists know that you're supposed to head south in the winter. And if you don't believe me, try getting your water out of a garden hose when it's 10 below zero. Amen. Now, that brings us to this right here. It is October 31st, and from here I'm going to Maine. I've got my wires crossed, and I'm heading the wrong way for the wrong time of year. But actually, it's on purpose. I believe the Lord directed it this way. When I was starting out in evangelism in 1997, I was down in Tallahassee, Florida. It was 105 degrees, and the place where I was, the prophet's chamber didn't have air, and it was pretty hot. And the preacher said, Brother Spurgeon, don't you know that evangelists are supposed to be up north in the summer and down south in the winter? And I said, yeah, I know that, but Drummond and McGahee and Blunkall and all these other guys, they already got that figured out. And new guys like me, we'll take anything we can get. Amen. I was glad to be in Florida, even at 105 degrees, 104 preaching. But now God's worked it out the last 12 years where I've been in the south or out west when it gets cold, and frankly, it's boring. So we're changing our routine, and now we're pushing into Maine in November. I hope I don't live to regret that. I'll tell you what, I got no complaints about today. I can't think of a place I'd rather be. It isn't this pretty in Florida ever. I mean, I said something about grass one time from the pulpit, and they didn't know what I was talking about. Amen. But I appreciate being here. Verse 27. And he arose, and this is Philip, and he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Father, we do come before you once again this morning, thankful, God, that you are mindful of us. Thank you that you cared about us. Thank you didn't reward us according to our iniquity. And thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ making a way for sin to be forgiven. And Lord God, I pray today that you'd bless this message. I pray that it would have your desired effect on the hearts of those here in assembly today. Lord, if a person's in here and doesn't know beyond a shadow of a doubt where their soul will spend eternity, I pray that this morning the lights would come on in that respect. Pray you'd make it easy for them to see that the greatest need that any human being has is to get their sins forgiven so they don't end up in a literal hell. And I pray that Christians as well, and I know there's many in here this morning, I pray they'd be reminded of their obligation and their responsibility as Christians. And most of all, Lord, I pray that you'd be lifted up and exalted and pleased with all that's said and done. Father, I submit this message to you and pray for your help. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I want to preach to you this morning for these few minutes about three men. Now, we've seen them in the passage. And so, number one, be there in verse 27. It says, and he arose and went, and behold, a man. Okay, there's man number one. And doesn't give his name, but does give us some significant things about him. It says that he was of great authority. Therefore, this man here, he's a very powerful man. He's not only powerful, he's got great authority in the kingdom of the queen that he serves, but he also is very trustworthy. He's a trustworthy man. He's the treasurer. Amen. This guy had charge of all her treasure. I'll tell you what, maybe the problem, one of the problems with America today is that we've let people be in charge of the treasury who weren't very trustworthy. This guy's trustworthy. And I'm going to tell you something else. If he's in charge of the money, he's no dummy either. Because you got to have some sense to be able to take care of money. Ask me how I know. Amen. I don't have any. But or money or sense. But amen. But there's some things said about this guy. But his name's not given, but there's some significant things said. He's a religious man. He's a Jewish proselyte. He's gone to Jerusalem from Ethiopia. He's not on official business. He's not on business of the queen. He's not on vacation. He's on a religious journey, amen, to attend the feast in Jerusalem. This is on his own for the purpose of seeking God the best way he knows how. Could I remind you this morning that from the capital of Ethiopia to Jerusalem was 1,800 miles. One way, no interstates, no rest areas, that got no air conditioning. The guy's in a chariot. Amen. He's got more zeal than some folks I know that aren't saved. Amen. And so he's a religious man, and he's making this great effort to be where he thinks he needs to be. And he just reminds me, like I say, he's good, he's decent, he's not nothing negative said about him. He's like many that are in churches all over America this morning. Might be like somebody in here today. You're like this guy in this regard. Number one, you may be a great person. And number two, you may be exactly like this guy in the most significant way. He's not saved. Amen. Of all the things that are said about him, the most significant is the fact that he is not born again. His sins are not forgiven. The word we use for that is lost. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. This guy's lost. Amen. And here we find him in verse 28. It says, read Isaiah the prophet. Now, the guy's not a Christian, but he's seeking. He's reading what scripture he's got. He doesn't have the benefit of finished work, the divine revelation in his hand like we do. I don't know what portion of scripture he's got. Perhaps it's in Hebrew. He's reading out of Isaiah 53. That certainly is Hebrew. This guy's not a Hebrew. This guy has learned another language so that he can study the Word of God. We have the Bible in English and we don't read it like we should. That'd be a good place to say amen right there. Amen. Now, this guy's got a lot going for him. This guy's made this 1,800-mile trip. Now he's on his way home, and here's what we see about him. Whatever religious experience he had in Jerusalem didn't satisfy, didn't fulfill. Amen. Why? Because this indicates the fact that he's reading his scripture on the way home indicates that he's still searching. He's honest enough with himself to know this. Something is missing. And I'm going to tell you what, when a person will seek the Lord, he'll find him. God took note of this guy's heart and sent him the evangelist, Philip. Amen. I just want to say this. You may be just like him this morning. Amen. We're glad you're here. You may be intelligent and good and hardworking and a decent, successful person. And praise the Lord, you're in church this morning. Maybe you're even religious. Note this. There's millions and millions of Americans in church this hour across our nation that are not Christians, that are not saved, that would not go to heaven if they died right now, that don't have a clue where they'd go. They hope they'd go, but they don't know. You might be like that in here this morning. Again, if If you're here, welcome. We're glad you're here. Amen. We're not going to be ugly, but I'm telling you something. If you're searching for the truth, you'll find it here today. What are we going to do? We're going to tell you how you can know where your soul will spend eternity, how you can know your sins are forgiven. But if you're in here today and you don't know, and you're looking for what's missing, we're going to tell you about what's missing. Let me say it again. 3 men this morning. The first man is a good man, but he's not saved. And if you're in here this morning and you're not saved, then he represents you. He represents you. Now, man number two, 3 men. Man number two, verse 29, then the Spirit said unto Philip, then, again, he's spoken to him again, go near and join thyself to this chariot. I think it's significant that God talked to him again. The Lord spoke to him with a general call in verse 26, and now he has a specific call. Because he heeded the word of God the first time, amen, didn't ask any questions, didn't say anything like that, just did, it said in verse 29, and he arose and went, and then he was where God could use him for a specific reason. When the Lord said, okay, now you're here, I want you to go to that guy right there. Right there. I just think it's good that the Lord was speaking to him again. And I tell you, it's because he responded the first time. Amen. Listen, I know a lot of people that God has spoke to one time. And why would he speak to you again if you're not going to heed him the first time? Amen. Let me ask them, when's the last time the Spirit of God spoke to you? Amen. Specifically. You know what we do? We'll put tracts in our pocket. We'll show up for street preaching. We'll do all the things we're supposed to do. When's the last time you did any of them things? Because you knew the Spirit of God wanted you to. That's the difference between Bible Christianity and religion. Boy, I tell you, here's how it goes. We put these things, they're part of the uniform. Oh, yeah. That's what makes us different than everybody else. We have tracts. We handled. Could I give you something to read? Amen. But when, how about this? Wonder what would happen if we did like this. In the morning, God, today, would you give me an opportunity to put a track where you want it, where it'll accomplish your purpose, not just out of duty, not just out of obligation, not just so you can brag later on, but really asking God for an opportunity to do something that might bring somebody closer to Jesus Christ. I wonder what would happen if we as Bible believers could get a hold of that mentality right there. Amen. Philip did. Philip, I believe that's what Philip lived for. Say, how do you know that? Well, it says this. In verse 29, the Spirit said unto Philip, go near. And in verse 30, and Philip ran. Boy, he ran at the opportunity. Amen. It says, and heard him. He heard him read the prophet. Listen, he's hearing him read the Bible, what Bible he's got. He hears him, but Philip's got a little discernment about himself. He understands. He didn't say, oh, I see you're a Christian too. No, he didn't take that for granted. He listens. He's listening to the guy read and perceives that he's religious, but that he is lost. Listen, this world has learned, the religious world has learned the terminology that we use. You do any personal work, if you just say to a person, are you saved? And they say yes, and you just go on your way. I'm going to tell you what, they might not be talking about the same thing you are. If you take that a step further, and we do, and in one part of the country it'll be, well, I was baptized as a kid. And another part of the country, well, I was baptized as an adult. And another part of the country, well, I did this or I did that. Listen, hey, salvation comes by believing on the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Not by saying, I'm saved. Yeah, Bible says by your fruit, you'll know thee. By their fruit, you'll know them. So, I mean, I'm just saying here, Philip had the spiritual discernment to perceive that this guy was lost. And here he said this to him, and he wasn't being ugly or mean. He had a little, he might not have been an independent Baptist, because we usually don't do it this smooth. Understandest thou what thou readest? Yes, you understand what you're reading? And you know what, this guy, this wealthy guy, I would say he's probably wealthy. This guy probably got a real nice Lexus, Mercedes-type chariot, you know. And this guy, amen, he's the head of a treasury of a kingdom. Amen. He didn't say, what are you barefoot, you know, you don't even have a chariot, you don't even have a donkey. Here's what I'm trying to say. He didn't look down at the guy and say, what could you possibly show me, sonny? There's a spirit like that. We've tried to witness to people. We've been on the street in Dayton, Ohio, handing out tracts, and the businessmen would get out of work at noon and go down to wherever they're going to eat lunch, and we'd be down there street preaching. The girls would be singing, and I'd be standing there and say, can I give you something to eat? Three guys in suits go by. Can I? No. And they just kind of, patronize. Boy, I didn't like that. And walk on by. And then I'd have a little Evie. She'd be 7, 8, 9 years old. Have her down about 20 feet, and there she'd be standing with the same track. Can I give you something to read? And they'd take it from her, you know. But their pride wouldn't let them take a track from me. I'm going to tell you something. There's people in hell today because even though they were religious, even though they're in church, when a preacher says, are you saved? Their pride would keep them from budging. Amen? There's people in hell today from church pews who've let their pride keep them from responding to a simple invitation to get their sins forgiven. I'm glad this guy wasn't like that. I'm glad that when Peter said, Philip said, understand us what thou readest. Here's what he said. How can I, except some man should guide me? Man number two. Man number two specifically in the passage is Philip. But Philip represents you this morning. If you are a Christian, if you're not saved, then you're represented by the Ethiopian eunuch. But if you are, you should be like Philip. You should be sensitive to the Spirit of God. Spirit of God ought to be able to talk to you generally. And then specifically, you ought to want, you ought to desire, hey, you ought to look for an opportunity to say something about the Lord Jesus Christ. I perceive many Christians get up and you know, if they get cornered or they have to, or obviously God orchestrated an open door, we'll witness. But, boy, I wonder if we don't get up and get out about our business almost hoping it doesn't happen. Because, you know, we're busy, busy people. Sometimes we're too busy to do what God left us here to do. And then the fruit of all our accomplishments is nothing but vanity. Amen. The Bible says God's given you all things richly to enjoy. But the condition of that is you put Him first. When we put our own self first, well, we can accumulate all things and won't enjoy any of them. And just have to keep looking for something else to satisfy. I'm going to tell you what satisfies this morning. Peace of God is what satisfies. That's the only thing I've found. I've been at this thing almost 58 years, 37 years lost in gangs and drugs and prison and everything else, and 20 years living for Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you what, man, this is better. Amen. If it wasn't, I'd have went back. All right? And I said, how can I accept some man should guide me? And thank God. Thank God for an honest man. Thank God. He admitted he needed some help. Thank God. God sent him somebody who was willing to be a help. Why? Had not some man. That's you. This world needs you. Just like God used Philip in this passage, had not some man come along to guide him. How can I, except some man should guide me? Had not some man come along for this guy, he would have remained religious, successful, possibly a very good man, churchgoer, might come to this feast in Jerusalem every year, rest of his life. And then when he died, he busted hell wide open. Amen. Thank God. I bet he's glad today some man came along. Amen. Listen, if you're saved here today, this second man, this some man, is you. You ought to be able to guide somebody to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, everybody's not a super soul winner. Everybody's not a street preacher. Everybody's not real eloquent. Obviously, that doesn't stop God from using you. But I'm going to tell you what. People are not ashamed to let this world know about what they love. You look at the bumper stickers and the jackets and everything else. ball caps and everything else. People are not ashamed to let people know about what they care about. Amen? And let's say, well, I don't remember. Listen, he told the maniac Gadara, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And I'm going to tell you what, if you're saved here today, then don't you know what happened to you?
Yes.
Let me ask you this. If you don't, if you can't explain that you knew you were a sinner and your sin was going to take you to hell and Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for your sin, and one day you believed unto him, unto life everlasting. If you don't know that, if you can't tell somebody that, would you explain to me how you could possibly be saved yourself? If you don't know those things, boy, it'd be a blessing to open a Bible and show you. And then not only can you have your sins forgiven, but you could be a vessel meet for the master's use. You could be a used of God, bring some of your friends and loved ones to Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. Showing up in church isn't going to get you into heaven. Turning over a new leaf, getting rehabilitated, that's not getting anybody into heaven. Those things might be ingredients for a better life. But this life's going to end. And there's something more important than next week and next year. It's eternity. Everybody's going to spend it somewhere. If you're saved, you got a hold of this thing. Christ died to make a way for your sins to be forgiven. And if you're in here and you're not saved, Christ died to make a way for your sins to be forgiven, and you need to get saved. And for you that are, it is God that has chosen to use people, Christians, to be a light in a very dark world. We have some responsibility. Amen. And some people shun it. I'm going to tell you what, embrace it. It's wonderful. Amen. Look for opportunities. Three men in the passage in verse 27. Amen. Verse 31. Some man. There's the Christian. But the most important man in the passage is man number three. And you'll find him in verse 34. Now, we read about him in verse 32 and 33, and that's out of Isaiah 53. And verse 34, then the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Amen. There's man number three. Isaiah wasn't talking about himself. He is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Nobody else. Nobody else had a testimony like that. Amen. Like he described in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. His life was taken from the earth. That's a description of the Lord. And here's what it says in verse 35. And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. You know, man number one is a lost man like you were and like I was. And if you're in here today and you've never had your sins forgiven once and for all by believing what Christ did on the cross, man number one describes you to this day. And man number two describes the person whose sins are forgiven, but not just that, but is also able to guide another person to Christ. But boy, I'll tell you what, more importantly of all, man number three is him. This isn't about religion. This isn't about me. This isn't about you. This isn't about Baptist. This is about Jesus Christ. Philip did not run him up one side and down the other about everything that was wrong with him. He just preached unto him, Jesus, this world needs to know about somebody who nothing was wrong with. Boy, I tell you what, if we could get him to Jesus, maybe some of that other stuff that sometimes we make too big a deal about, maybe some of that stuff would start falling into place. I'm thankful today that the preacher that came to the county jail in 1990 didn't come in and say, you got tattoos, you got long hair, you're a drug addict. He didn't say none of that stuff. He preached Jesus. Then I got in a church and they told me, and the more I learned about him, the more I wanted to please the one that did what no one else had ever done for me. Nobody in the gang ever died for my sin. Amen. You get a hold of who Jesus Christ is and what he did for you, living for him is not too hard. You'll want to. Amen. Here's the Philip preached unto him Jesus. No doubt he told him all about him. Told him all about it. Born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, betrayed by his friends, crucified, even though at his trial, all of them, I find no fault in him. Crucified. At the end of the thing, he said this, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I'm going to tell you, well, that's the testimony of anybody that hears the gospel of Jesus Christ and ends up in hell anyway. You don't know what you're doing. This isn't religion. This isn't opinion. This isn't what I think versus what you think. This is what God, the Bible says, for God so loved the world. That's you, man. That's me. That's not the planet. That's not the ocean. Why? It says whosoever. And that's us. Amen? Boy, this guy, Philip probably told him then, listen, success and power and being a good person and going to church, those things aren't going to get you into heaven. Boy, and I tell you what, we live in a society today where, amen, listen, there's a lot of people doing real bad stuff. There's a lot of people doing real good stuff. It don't matter. Nobody's getting to heaven without Jesus. Amen. The Bible says, for God so loved, I tell them convicts, I preach in prisons, I say, put your name right there, for God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. That's how it is. It's personal. Amen. Philip preached unto him Jesus. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jesus Christ is the glory of God. You say, well, compared to so-and-so. You're not going to be compared to so-and-so. You're going to be compared to somebody that never sinned, ever. And you're going to come short. And God's not setting you up. God's not like us. God doesn't put people in a trick bag. God doesn't set people up to fail. God sets people up to succeed. God made the sacrifice. Jesus Christ gave his life. So that what? So that we could have eternal life? Say, what do I have to do? Believe? Could it be that easy? It had to be that easy. You think Dave Spurgeon ever got it? If it wasn't that easy? Amen? The Bible says the gift of God. Now that thing, Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death. I buried 41 of my own guys in my years with the gangs. 41! I know about death. That book says the wages of sin is death. But it don't stop there. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What did Philip do? Preached unto him Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 3 says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. First things first. Amen? Boy, Paul taught a lot about conduct and how Christians ought to act. But, boy, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. Jesus Christ didn't go to the cross so that we could have a church or so that we could have a good life or so that we could go to heaven. Christ didn't die on the cross so that we could go to heaven. Christ died on the cross because our sin was taking us to hell. Any benefit about being a Christian is icing on the cake. What Jesus Christ went through, what Jesus Christ went through was to make a way for sin to be forgiven. Boy, I'm glad he was willing to. Amen. That Bible says according to Scripture. Now, this isn't our opinion. That's what the Bible says. Say, well, I don't believe that. Well, what is it that you believe? You believe something. You believe some other novel? You believe some movie? You believe some psychic, some guru? What do you believe? You believe something? Everybody believes something that came from somebody else. You might do well to believe a 400-year-old book that's turned this world upside down. I mean, what are the odds of that little comic book you're clinging to being the truth versus this? Say,
Well, you could be wrong. Yeah, I know. What if I'm right? What if the book's true? Oprah, she said, that just can't possibly be the only way to heaven. Yeah? And what if it is? I'm telling you what would be worth risking burning forever? I asked myself that question in a jail cell, and here's the answer I come up with. Nothing. That's the correct answer. Nothing. Amen. He preached unto him Jesus. The Bible said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Yeah, that don't confess to me. I'm a sinner just like you. I ain't any better than anybody anywhere. Telling me your sins, getting my advice wouldn't help you a bit. Now, when it comes to eternity, I'll tell you what will help you. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Philip preached unto him Jesus. Jesus is what made a difference in my life. I didn't turn over a new leaf. I became a new creature. And I had no clue. I had no clue, but I'm sure glad. I'm sure glad the Lord cared enough to send somebody to tell me the truth. You're in here this morning, you're not saved. Listen, I'm not eloquent. I'm not educated. But I'll tell you the truth. I'll tell you the truth. That's the only thing that would have got through to me. And that's all I got. The truth, not my opinion, not my education, what God said. And God said, Jesus Christ is the one that can take care of the problem. Whosoever. You know, there's churches in America that they wouldn't even want people like I was if I didn't clean up my act first. Man, if I could have cleaned up my act, if I could have got off the dope, and if I could have done all that on my own, what would I need Jesus Christ for? I'm glad he accepts us just the way we are. Amen. I'm glad all it takes to be saved is an honest heart. Boy, I brought to him an honest heart with a flesh that had a lot of problems. But he dealt with that heart, and one by one, the problems got taken care of too. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Simple message this morning about three men, three very different men. If you're in here and you're not saved, you're like man number one. And you need to know, you needed to know. I've tried to tell you the same things he needed to know. The Philippian jailer said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Paul answered and said, believe, not here, see, here. Believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the, no, I'm sorry. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Amen. What does it take? An honest heart. You got to do this. You got to hear. You got to yourself. You got, and to God. You got to admit to him something you and him both already know. You got to admit to God you're a sinner. The Bible says hell's real. No sin's going to heaven. The original zero tolerance thing, that came from God. You admit that you're a sinner, and you're going to realize that your sin's going to take you to hell, and God loved you enough to make a way for you not to go. Now, who in their right mind wouldn't want their sins forgiven, especially in light of the fact the Lord made it that easy. Believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. If you're in here today and you're not saved, boy, I'll tell you what, we offer you an invitation. We call it an invitation. What's an invitation? We invite you to let one of us open a Bible, a man with a man, a lady with a lady, show you how simple it is to get your sins forgiven. If God would have made it hard, nobody would have got it. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Boy, if I had the keys to a car up here and said, here, this is a gift. Anybody want to give? You'd jump on that. Well, I'll tell you what God's offering today dwarfs anything this world's got. Eternal life. If you're in here and you're not saved, you're like man number one. Would you let one of us open a Bible, answer your questions, or show you what it says, how you can know your sins are forgiven? That's where it starts. And that's where you need to start. And if you are saved here this morning, You should be like Philip. That Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, you're not to henceforth live unto yourselves, and it's a crying shame. America's been blessed to its detriment. Even Christians, even those that are saved, even those that believe the Bible, even those that are faithful in church. Too often, we're not looking for opportunities. We're just going through the motions, waiting for the Lord to come back. We ought to be like Philip. God ought to know when he looks down on you. You know, if I ask him, if I ask her to go across the street and hand out a tract, they'll do it. Some people, well, God's never done that for me. Yeah, exactly. You hear me? Maybe you need to pray today and ask God to forgive you for not being more like Philip, and ask him to help you start being, starting today. The Lord's coming back soon. There's people I know that ain't going to go when he comes. And I don't want the blood on my hands. How about you? God didn't leave us here just to have a good old time. That's what maybe some of the other crowds are doing. Oh, we're saved. Let's have a big group hug. That's not what he left us here for. He left us here to be busy about our Father's business. Again, man number three. It's about him. It's all about him, not about us. So, the invitation's for everyone. So let's stand and close our eyes. And you know, I'm not going to re-preach the message. I know your preacher. I know some of you for years, and I know you know what I've said. And I know that you know how to respond. Me, I'm a fan of old-fashioned altar. I think it's a good place to do business with God. I'm saddened by the fact that we've become so biblically knowledgeable that we can just listen to preaching, and sit there in our seats and you know, well, as I've heard that before. Well, it's not me that you're supposed to be tuned into this week. It's the Spirit of God. And there's no telling what he might tell you. He might tell you something that you need to do and take care of. What are we meeting for this week? I didn't drive up here for another meeting. I don't need another meeting. I need to see my grandkids. But I'll tell you what, if God will move up here, there's no place I'd rather be than this church this week. Amen? He's not hindered. Don't hinder him. The Lord spoke to you about your availability. Why don't you speak back? Again, if you're not saved. Oh, yeah, the preacher's going to come. He's going to tell you exactly how to hear, to see what you can do to avail yourself to the amazing, life-changing, saving grace of Jesus Christ. And you know what? If you're in here this morning, and you are like Philip, you've been at it. You do look for opportunities. You do want people to get saved. You do care. You do invite. Bless your heart. Stay at it. Stay at it. Amen. And that's how I got here. Somebody cared. And the devil's going to try to tell you it don't matter. Oh, it matters. We had some saved a couple weeks ago. So live for God. It's worth it. If you haven't been, get it right. If you're not saved, you listen to Brother Piat. As he comes, you take this day and you receive Christ. You'll never regret it. You'll just regret you waited so long. Preacher, you come.